We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockenfeth and Greg Pickle. One more segment to go. This is quarter number four. Ask Greg. Coming to you from Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. These are your Penn State football and recruiting questions. We got some good ones to get to this week. The winner, of course, gets a bottle of wine from TailgateWine.com. The segment brought to you by TailgateWine.com, where great wine meets great barbecue. All you got to do is download the Keystone Sports app if you don't have it already. You tap the Ask Greg button. You type in your question. We will read it on the air. Whoever asks the best question each week will be selected by Greg Pickle over here to get a bottle of wine for free from TailgateWine.com. Greg wields a lot of power, and he knows it. He absolutely knows it.
You got it.
Let's get into the questions. We'll start with Nate from Mars here. Between KJ Hamler and Micah Parsons, who will be more crucial to Penn State's success this season?
Whew, that's a good one. That's a tough one right out of the gate.
There's layers to that one, isn't there?
Yeah. I mean, I think – give me the – you said it was Parsons and who else?
KJ Hamler.
Yeah. I mean, I think you have to go with Micah just because they're going to expand his role and let him do more things than he's ever done in the Penn State jersey this year. And that could be the true for KJ too, but as we've heard Ricky Ronnie and Trace McSorley and so many other James Franklin talk about time and time again, you know, the thing that controls the where the ball goes on offense is what the defense gives them and who the defense leaves open. So that may not give KJ Hamler as many opportunities as and Michael Parsons is dictated by how quickly he can get around the tackle or the guard and get into the backfield to make a play. So I think it's Micah, but KJ is certainly going to be a big part of this team too.
I mean, the spinoff questions, and you know, you can define crucial to success however you want. So one part of that is the wide receiver depth chart and not a lot of sure things on there. In terms of just pure explosiveness, offense and special teams, KJ Hamler, it's hard to match that. So you have that. On Micah's side, obviously, you know, he's an awards candidate for a reason. You're going to see his role expand. You also have a belief that the defense is going to be the unit that carries the day for Penn State this season. So the best player on the best unit could be the most crucial to success. So it's an interesting question. I mean, I think that the bottom line, Greg, is both of them are very crucial to Penn State's success this season.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
So you're going with KJ Hamler, or you're going with Micah Parsons. That's fair. Yeah. You can definitely make a case for KJ as well. Bill from Philadelphia, with Franklin saying that he would be open to taking 30-plus recruits this cycle, how does that affect gray shirting? Would they have to gray shirt some of the 2019 recruits, or is this solely affecting 2020? Follow-up, this seems to target lesser-regarded players. Why wouldn't they put current players on scholarship for a season and then wait until 2021 to get higher-star players? Sorry for the long question. Lost me a little bit halfway through there. But I guess, you know, the logistics of taking 30 plus kids.
Right. I mean, essentially I don't think it's, you know, we talked about this a little bit earlier in the show, which has given me some time to go try and find some answers. And I don't think you can remove, you know, I don't think you can make a guy a member of this class when he gets there and then move into that class later on. So I think that I don't want to say you have one time shot at doing something like this, but you need the guys to early enroll because that's the only really shot you have to do it and have them count back against the last class, which can let you count early enrollees back against that class and so on and so forth. So you need that, but I think that, you know, I guess the answer to the question is you don't want to ever waste an opportunity like this because you don't know when it's going to come along again.
And I don't know. I mean, I think gray shirting could be a part of this, I guess. But, you know, this isn't gray shirting. This is taking guys who are already on campus who have rolled in January.
You can't gray shirt anymore anyway.
You can backdate them to the previous class. It's something that Penn State had to use out of necessity to get as many numbers as they could during scholarships, during the NCAA sanctions. That's the first we really knew of this type of rule. And I guess it makes sense, you know, to be able to, if a kid enrolls in January, you're able to make them a part of the previous class if you want to. Penn State will have that option. And the fact that, you know, the transfer portal will probably, you know, I'm guessing, create, you know, year to year a bigger demand for numbers in each in recruiting classes, coupled with the trend, you know, nationally that more and more and more kids are enrolling in January. You do have this sort of, I will call it a loophole, where you can maximize numbers as long as you're managing that overall 85 scholarship number on your roster, which Penn State is. You know, they're stretching to get up to into the 80s,
right,
in the 2019 season. Their scholarship numbers are a little on the low side. You've seen them hand out scholarships to some former walk-ons and that kind of thing. Penn State will be able to take a bunch and probably still be able to stay within that 85, especially if, you know, the season comes to an end and they have something resembling the same kind of transfer madness as they did this past winter.
Right. Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I think that, you know, the key is going to be taking as many guys as you can when you can. And then, you know, obviously there'll be some years where that's just not going to be the case, so you're going to have to just live with it. But, you know, I think you have to take advantage of the opportunities when they present themselves.
This is Ask Greg on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Greg Pickle is answering your Penn State football and recruiting questions. The segment's brought to you by tailgatewine.com, where you have to check out their blue and white wine gift box, a perfect gift for that Penn State fan in your life. Check it all out at tailgatewine.com, where great wine meets great barbecue. We're giving away a bottle of tailgate wine to whoever asked the best question. If you didn't get your question in this week, be sure to download the Keystone Sports app. Check the Ask Greg button, push it, and fire off your question. We'll answer it on the air sometime in a future episode of the Keystone Kickoff Show, and you too will have a shot to win a bottle of wine from tailgatewine.com. Mike from Corning, New York. Hi, Greg. Given the recent topic discussed by Sandy Barber about big-dollar contracts for naming rights to Penn State stadiums, and considering you're speaking from the Labatt Blue Studio, yeah, Greg, what are your thoughts on the topic? Is it a blue, in parentheses, black and white topic, or is there a gray area for you? Not a gray shirt, but gray area for you, Greg.
I mean, I think that if I have no issue with naming rights for stadiums, if players want to can profit off of their lake, their image and all that. The only question I have about players being able to profit off of their image and all that is, does it change your team dynamics if, let's use last year's team for an example, if Saquon Barkley and Trace McSorley are getting, you know, a certain amount of money and other guys aren't? You know, that's the one thing I wonder about, if, you know, if that doesn't provide some weird dynamics. I mean, currently they all get the same scholarship, obviously, except for the walk-ons. They all get the same cost of, what is it, cost of living, cost of attendance, whatever they call
I think
it.
Cost of attendance is the official term.
Yeah. And so it's all standardized at this point, but with allowing name and likeness deals, you know, maybe, you know, guys feel like they're not getting to play enough and they're not getting enough stats and that's costing them money, you know, would that be a problem? I don't know. It's something every school would have to figure out, but yeah, I have no issue with it.
I would say, I would agree on the state, like, if it's Beaver Stadium presented by the Keystone Sports Network, I think we have enough money to probably purchase the naming rights to the stadium, right? Just got to cut my salary a little bit, which will pretty much drive that to zero. But anyway, if it doesn't impact the fan experience, who cares?
Right.
I think this is the day and age where everybody just expects all these stadiums to be named. I know that Penn State, in terms of tradition, has some of the richest, deepest, most – and I say this in a complimentary way. I think the most simple tradition, you know, the most straightforward tradition, the history of the program – and I think the fan base has come to expect, you know, the names on the jersey type thing. Like, it's that kind of thing. And there will be some pushback from this community. But by and large, if Penn State needs to make its money from it, if they find a sponsor who wants to give, you know, what is it, nine figures to sponsor
to
be the sponsor for Beaver Stadium, then more power to you. And maybe it's going to usher in some changes to the fan experience, which at the end of the day, that's the most important development I think that has to happen at Beaver Stadium, is you got to improve the fan experience.
Yeah, that was one of the responses I got to the naming rights question, was that people didn't want, you know, they wanted Beaver Stadium renovations done, but they didn't want Beaver Stadium naming rights sold. It's like, well, how do you think you're going to pay for that? Or what would be the easiest way to pay for that? If you name it the, you know, Giant Field at Beaver Stadium or whatever you want to do, guess what? There's a big check coming along with that. And the fact that, you know, the Labatt Field at Beaver Stadium, whatever, the fact that somebody would be writing a big check to Penn State would help them in a variety of areas, and certainly Beaver Stadium renovations would be chief among that.
And I think when Sandy Barber talked out in Chicago, I don't want to say that it painted a picture of like bleakness, but of the task ahead.
Right.
It's a big task to try to raise the amount of money they need to do what they need to do. And, you know, you're going to have generous donors, but that's a lot of money they're trying to raise independent of their own budget. They're not, you know, they have to raise this on their own.
Right. And exactly.
You got to do something if you want that fan experience. I suspect this is going to be coming to a Beaver Stadium near you. Jared from Ohio, Talmadge, Ohio. What's your typical in-season week like on the beat? We all see the content, but don't know it all comes together and how many times you're in state college during game week. What's a game day schedule like for you? This is somebody, Greg, who just sympathizes with your plight in life.
That's right.
It's about freaking time.
Quite a plight, too. You know, it's get to the stadium 3 hours before kickoff, figure out who didn't make the trip, if they're on the road, or who's not warming up, if they're at home. And then it's game time, and a lot of the work gets done after the game. You know, and there's not a whole heck of a lot of writing or talking you can do related to in-game action. It's updates, that's about it. And then there's interviews after the game, and you spend about 5 hours writing after the final whistle goes. So I think that's probably the one thing people forget about, you know, is that it goes – our job really starts when a game ends, as opposed to the opposite where it's kind of doesn't – it starts a little bit you know, when the game starts, of course, and before the game, but most of it comes at the end of it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in game, you're having to mind your P's and Q's, and you're having to pay attention and try not to miss anything. You know, that goes for a block that's off the TV screen that you might see. Like, so you have a responsibility to catch everything, but, you know, watching the game and that's the real perk of the beat is being there for the actual game. So I know that's not breaking news or anything, but it's true that, you know, once the game and that's why you'll hear like for 8 o'clock kickoffs, especially ones that don't make any sense, like Georgia State, what was it last year and Buffalo this year, you're going to put these guys, you know, you're going to work until 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh yeah.
For a game that really doesn't have a lot of bearing on Penn State's season. Well, it's one thing if they play Ohio State.
I would say
tonight.
This, it better not, because otherwise Penn State's in trouble come Big Ten season.
So let me ask you, who do you think asked the best question?
Yeah, it was
a good
list this week. I think, let's go with the last one there. Jared, I think his name was.
Jared from Ohio. I think it's safe to say that if you ask a question that in any way sympathizes with Greg or with me or with anybody, you're going to do well. And that probably goes for Ross Tucker on at the Ask Ross segment as well.
That's right.
You can either kiss up or you can sympathize and be sensitive to that person's needs, and you're going to get some favorable treatment. So there you go. Jared from Talmadge, Ohio. We'll be in touch soon about a bottle of wine from tailgatewine.com. Congratulations to everybody else. Thanks for your questions. Be sure to do the same thing next week on the Keystone Sports app. Be sure to download the app if you haven't already, and check us out for all previous segments on KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.